Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan, let's talk Sundance. Real quick, broad strokes. We'll just talk about a few movies that we may or may not both have seen. And we'll go from there. I saw far more than you, apparently, yeah, at this point. I will ask you, which movie jumps out at you from Sundance that you would like to comment on
first? Well, the film that I enjoyed the most was Love Lies Bleeding. Which is the Kristen Stewart bodybuilding paper.
Which I did not get to see. I saw a Kristen Stewart movie, but not that one.
You saw probably the...
Love Me.
Love Me.
Her and Steven Yeun.
Yeah. But there's a part of me that wonders if that was... Because there is something about the Sundance effect. And the audience that I saw like bleeding with was phenomenal.
That's great when you have a good audience.
And there was just this electric buzz in the room. And it's a shame that I saw it in Salt Lake and, unfortunately, none of the filmmakers showed up. Because if they had, it would have been a riot. And if they had told people to rip the doors off, those doors would have been ripped off. Wow. I mean, it was people were that, amped and into it. And so there's a part of me that thinks, well, how much of that... was just the experience, mm-hmm. and how much was the film. But the film's crazy. The film goes all over the place. And some people are going to like that. Some people are not going to like that. But that was the one experience that was just, very Sundance for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's just hard to explain. But again... Could it be that it's really not as good as that?
Yeah. Right.
But that experience was so good that.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Which one did I have a good audience for? Well, obviously the Superman, the Christopher Reeve story.
Yeah.
We had a ridiculous audience. His kids were there. The directors were there. The grandparents were in the back or sitting right next to me, and me and Val were there. The editor was a row ahead of us. And that was great. I mean, that was a respectful screening. You didn't hear a lot of kerfuffle during the film. Any noise you heard was appropriate.
There's not really a lot to kerfuffle on that film.
No, but I mean, people were invested. So it just wasn't a lot of extraneous garbage in there. So, but that, like I said, that was just a phenomenal film. There was one I watched. It was Your Monster with was it Melissa Barrera? Is it Melissa Barrera? Oh, God, from Scream. You know who I'm talking about. Right.
Yeah.
So she had got herself in a bit of a pickle and fired from Scream. And then she brings this movie to Sundance. And I am one of those people that I tell people all the time, because we go to a lot of conventions and you'll see a guest announced and some people will immediately jump on and tell you how horrible you are for booking that guest. Mr. Event. And I always tell people, it's like, can you separate art from artist? To be fair, sometimes you can't. If your art is doing certain things, then that's one thing. But art and artist, I like to separate art and artist, generally speaking. So I did like the two Scream films she was in. So Your Monster is a wacky rom-com with a dark twist. And it's really good. The audience was laughing when they were supposed to laugh. They were awing when they were supposed to awe. They were, nervous laughter at the dark twist part. It was a good crowd. It was a good movie. And then the very next day I saw that she had done something again. And I was just like, sometimes the artist needs to separate art from artist. But I liked that movie as well. But there was a lot of good stuff. I watched Hitman. I don't remember if I told you that. I don't remember if you saw it or not.
I didn't get to see it now. It was on the short list.
Oh yeah. And it wasn't streamable. So I stood in line with that with two separate people that told me they saw it when it was at TIFF. And then they came to Sundance and they made it a point to see it again. And I thought, I'm in the right line. And I got through that movie and yep, I do not regret seeing that movie at all. That was a fun movie. I appreciate Glenn Powell more than I did going in, because I had Maverick and I had Devotion. And I was just like, he needs to do something and he's done something here. So good on him for pulling that off. I wound up seeing 11 documentaries somehow. I don't know how that happened. But I watched 11 documentaries, which I find insane. Some of them were good. Some of them were disappointing. Some of them I think were poorly done. But the one that I had actually, aside from the Christopher Reeve story, the one I had really been looking forward to seeing was called War Game.
Oh yeah.
Which was, so it was a simulation of a government response to a contested election protest at the Capitol or in Washington DC. So,
and this really happened.
After January 6th, 2021, I think they did this in 2023 is when they did it. But they did this exercise, a security exercise, and they brought together all these government and, ex-government, current government, military, ex-military people, and gave them positions in the government in this little war room. But then they also had the insurgents, the domestic rebels, the whatever you want to call them. So we had the blue team and the red team, and the white team is in the control room monitoring both sides. Now, wherever you fall politically, and I know me and Ryan don't, me and a lot of other people don't, but the concept of this documentary is great because this kind of thing is often, they'll say they war gamed it, but I don't think they do it. They don't do it to this extent, but they war game scenarios. The military does it for overseas stuff. The government should do it more often. I find this, the central conceit of this to be a good thing in that you're running a scenario.
Pretty terrifying, but
they can be terrifying, but, there were some decisions made about how this game was run that I had issue with, because it was a 6-hour exercise. So they were running this exercise against a hard stop, which there are no hard stops in this world, unless a terrorist group says at 6 PM, I'm going to detonate a nuclear weapon in Times Square. Then you have a hard stop. But in terms of what this scenario was, there isn't a hard stop. So it kind of compressed and that in itself influenced a lot of the things that happened. But the other thing I kind of felt about it is that I felt like the control room was trying to steer the government's response in a certain direction.
And what I think goes along with that is I think because you had people in roles that weren't their roles, and they were talking to people who that actually was their role, but they were pretending to have a different role.
Right.
That definitely had an impact on the decisions that were being made. And kind of made me wonder, well, if you're going to do a simulation, shouldn't you include the people that are going to be a part?
Experts in expert positions?
Yes. Right. Rather than saying, well, this guy's normally this, but today he's going to play military expert.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why? Procedurally, I had some issues with the film. I didn't find a lot wrong with the discussions that were taking place in the war room on the government side. Those discussions are ones I absolutely imagine happening. But again, I felt like a lot of it was compressed, and I felt like a lot of it was being steered from control. The red team. The one thing I will say about this movie, so we watched a lot of fictional movies, and we say, why? I don't know why this movie exists.
Yeah.
What was it? To the Bone or whatever. Bones and All. Like we said, this is a really great movie, but we didn't know why it existed.
Sure.
This movie, here's in the end, this is my biggest problem with this movie. This film absolutely is a blueprint and a checklist of governmental shortcomings.
Oh yeah.
And that might be the most frightening takeaway from this film.
Absolutely. The
I mean,
one of the things that, no, but you're absolutely right. It's the when you realize that, you know, when you have a group that is tethered to morality or ethics or, you know, whatnot, going up against a group that is not.
Right.
It's pretty horrific.
It is, but even then, a lot of this wasn't just, you know, we have the option to do this. This is legal. We can do it. But then a lot of it is the one word I never heard them say, but you heard it in everything they said, was optics.
Yeah,
and absolutely. And that drives me nuts. It's like, look, if you want to lead, and I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Democratic, Socialist, Libertarian, Independent, I don't care. If you want to be in a leadership position, you take the responsibility that comes with that. And if you have to make a decision that means you don't get reelected, you're not making decisions for the right reasons. Because now you're worried. If you're more worried about your butt politically than you are the right thing, then you are part of the problem. You are not part of the solution.
There were moments where we go inside the insurgents in their room, and they were thinking a lot of what I think a lot of us were thinking, and that they're like, we're doing all this stuff, and they're not doing anything.
Right.
Like they're not, like, literally, they are not doing a single thing.
Nope.
Because they're in a room debating again, it's the optics. But, and that is, you know, I think there's so much truth in that.
Government,
because, you know,
government entropy is like the worst thing ever. Because entropy is chaos, but they're like chaotically locked. They're not chaotically free.
No.
And the insurgents are they're not even chaotic. They're methodical. And again, any creative writer, any creative person can watch that movie, lose their mind and do things, you know, and come up with scenarios that would absolutely accomplish what this film accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And that again is the most disturbing thing. I was in the military for 20 years. I was in the Air Force. I worked in a climate controlled building, and I never saw combat. I could do a better job than those government people did. And I could be just as destructive or more so than the insurgents could. So, what, you know what I mean? It's you. I have jokingly said for years, the world is lucky I use my powers for good and not for evil. And this movie really demonstrates that if anybody wants to use their powers for evil, it doesn't take a lot.
Oh,
it
does not. They have, and again, and this is, I mean, we see this in movies all the time. You know, if you want to be powerful, particularly in Star Wars, you can go ahead and be powerful. You know, you're going to sacrifice pretty much anything that's good about you,
right?
But you'll be the most powerful person in the room, and you can take on 15, you know, standard Jedi if you're a Sith or whatever. Right. I don't know how you want to look at it, and that played out so vividly in this that it's you know, they were downplaying a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just I think if that's the takeaway is if someone was dedicated and wanted to actually do this sort of thing, they would do it better than they showed them doing it in this.
Yes.
For one, but they would also it's scary.
It is.
You know, I don't know how else to put it. It just was really kind of a frightening experience.
And again, I'm independent of your political persuasion. This is a structural failing.
Yeah.
It just is. It is a structural failing. It is turning a strength into a weakness. It exposes that. So yes, that was the movie, like I said, that disappointed me the most, because we could have learned so much more, but under the dictates of the game, we couldn't.
I thought it was set up weird too, because we got to know one of the insurgents.
Yep.
Pretty well. And we didn't get to know anyone else.
No.
And it was kind of like, okay, so why do we, you know, and it's an interesting choice, I guess, but in a documentary, it feels unbalanced.
Yeah.
Or it feels, you know, there's something about it that to me was like, why aren't we meeting the, you know, person over here and this person and this person? If you're going to spend so much time on this one guy,
it's almost an unscripted drama more than a documentary. There's a weird feel to it, but yeah.
I think maybe you'd make a movie about him if you want to make a movie about him.
That would be interesting.
You know, that, I mean, it's because it's not that he's a character I don't want to hear anything from. It's just the way that what this film is supposed to be doing it's not, you know, serving the purpose.
Yeah, it's not. Let's talk about a film that's a little lighter than that then. Hey everyone, welcome back to season 9 of the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. If you like what you're seeing and hearing, please feel free to like us, share us, follow us wherever you're listening to us, actually. If you're on YouTube, click subscribe. That would be great. Go to the website at vsmoviepodcast.com, and that will give you links to all of our socials. It'll give you write-ups of stuff that's not audio, but you'll get pretty much everything there. So if you like what you're seeing and hearing, make sure you share it with everyone else. Now let's get back to the show.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think you watched Thelma.
No.
Scandalous!
Yeah, I know.
That's just fun. That's just a good, solid, fun, and heartfelt little film that was a joy to watch. You root for Thelma at every step of the way. There are some silly spots, but it all works in the Thelma verse. That should hit theaters. I don't know when it's going to. I'm sure someone bought it.
It was purchased prior.
Oh, good. So it hopefully will be in theaters and not streaming. I don't want that to be a streaming release. I want that to be a theatrical release. Super bad. There was one other. Hey, that's actually a documentary. So I saw 12 documentaries. I'd like to apologize because I didn't have Kneecap listed as a documentary, even though it's kind of a drama. There's two other movies I want to mention real quick. Ghost Light, which I don't know if you saw. You didn't.
I did not, unfortunately. And I know you liked it a lot.
I loved it. I cried. It's great. It's fabulous. The family in the film is a family, which I thought I didn't realize going in. Husband, wife, daughter. They're great. She's phenomenal. The daughter's great. Where was it? In a Violent Nature, the horror movie. Was the first movie I watched. I watched that with Val, and she doesn't do horror movies, so she spent most of the movie with her eyes covered. I hope that's in theaters. I hope someone bought it. I hope it gets a theatrical release, because I just want to see the wider reaction. I want to see what the split is, because the festival split is not, there's no ambivalence about that film. It's either not good or it's really good. For the horror people. So I fell on I really enjoyed that movie. So I want to see a wider response to that one. I really do. I want to know which way it ultimately falls. A lot of good stuff. What else did you see?
Well, I mean, for me, it was mostly, there wasn't a lot of stuff that really stood out. There was a lot of good stuff. Some things had really interesting ideas that they didn't quite follow through on. But, you know, of the 15 or so that I saw, there really, I don't know that I saw that one. Again, Love Lies Bleeding, maybe. But
yeah, I heard nothing but good things about it. So,
you know, that may be the one of this festival that I saw that, you know, turns out to be really something that I really liked, and have good reason for. The Superman documentary, I think, was good, but it's hard to follow up the Michael J. Fox documentary, which may be one of the craziest, best editing, you know, but there are things that the Michael J. Fox documentary did that documentaries just don't normally get to do. And so it's kind of unfair that that's the movie that I compare this to, because this has a strange structure and it's a very, you know.
Well, you have to, because I mean, even the subject matter is similar.
Sure.
So if you're going to compare two, but if you're going to argue about which one of those two is better, that's darn.
Yeah. You
know, I mean, darn. If you're going to pick one over the other, there's not a wrong answer. On that question.
For me, cinematically and whatnot, the better made film and et cetera, is the Michael J. Fox film. Again, it's that film is very unique in what they did and the risk that they took. And this film took some risks, too, in the way that it was the way that the story. And we kind of talked about this. It's because the film constantly loops back to either when he gets the Superman role or when he gets paralyzed.
Yep.
It always loops back to that and then kind of goes off on, you know, whatever little tangent or sort of thing. So it's not exactly linear. And that there's something risky and interesting in that, I think. But I don't know. Anyway, that was good. Love Me or whatever was interesting, but incredibly flawed.
Yeah.
It just that movie, basically you have two robots go and create a virtual world, I guess.
Yeah,
and one of them is trying to steer the
two AIs develop sentience, yeah, and form a relationship. And yeah, you're right. The Kristen Stewart AI she's trying to create an existence based. Okay. So yeah. So it's two fake intelligences trying to build a life based on a fake life, because everything they're doing, she got from social media records of the human race.
But it was even more specific, and that's where I think this gets a little weird, is she picked
a very specific
couple and one YouTube video.
Yes.
So it raises the question of, well, wouldn't one of the two watch more?
I know.
Or, you know, wouldn't, I mean, there's fundamentally that you know, it was that bugged me the entire time. Yeah. Like you have the wealth of the internet, and you
the
just
collected history of humanity.
Yeah,
and is what she was able to access. Yeah,
you pick one, and I get, you know what, I get the joke, and you could actually make that movie where that's the one she picks.
Yeah,
but it needs to be set up a little better. I do like the male. Well, the character that's given the male identity.
Yeah.
The sense of why are you telling me that's not what I would do? Why are you telling me to do that?
Right, because that's what dude in the video did.
Yeah, and it's just, I just don't understand why do you want me to be that? And that had some interesting stuff.
Yes.
You know, that sort of, you know, and it was partially motion capture. So you had, you know, various stages of digital.
Yeah.
Cartoon stuff, and then you had, you know, real acting, and you know, Kristen Stewart in it is radically different than what you typically would see Kristen Stewart doing.
Yeah, she it's uber emotive.
Yeah, well, and she's, yeah, she's very normal, I guess. I don't know how
very normal. She's so different. She's so normal.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no. You know, and I'm sure that's part of why the director said that, you know, without her, this doesn't get made. And so I think that, you know, obviously she was interested in aspects of this.
Yep.
Story. I don't know. It was okay. But again, when your setup is a little flawed, to me, that is problematic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there were two other horror movies I watched, that both of which I kind of found disappointing. And one of which apparently got bought for $17 million, which blows my mind. But one was called I Saw the TV Glow, which I loved the idea and I loved the vibe. And then I didn't like the last third. I think the end fell down for me. And then it's What's Inside, which is a body swap kind of tale. But I told you this the other night that it's one of those films that only gets from beginning to end if everyone makes the stupidest decision every single time. And everyone makes the stupidest decision every single time. And that's the only way we get from point A to point B. And I can't believe that movie got bought for $17 million when apparently Christopher Reeve only got 10. What's Inside.
I think the argument there would be is documentary films don't tend to do as well as.
I know. But again, so. 10 million is pretty impressive, but 17 seems a bit much. So.
And Sundance has a history of usually the film that sells for the most is not the one that it's remembered for.
Yeah. I don't know what this one's going to be remembered for. I really don't. I watched that Sebastian Stan movie, A Different Man.
Yeah. That is another
A24. Yeah. Another A24. It's not, Bo is Afraid bad, which is pleasant. But it got some issues as it rolls through toward the end. Conceptually, it almost starts like it wants to be a Cronenbergian body horror. Uh-huh. And then it becomes something else. And it finishes up. It's interesting. It's got some neat characters in it, but for some reason it didn't all click for me, in terms of going, yeah, that's a great movie. So, that was actually the last one I saw in person. And then I came home and I watched like another dozen or so, and during the online portion, including a butt ton of documentaries, which is just nuts for me. You know how much
I see, the Porcelain movie.
I did not see the Porcelain War.
Yeah. Porcelain War. That
I've heard it's a good movie, but I'm not even sure what it's about.
Yes. Well, it's essentially the war in the Ukraine. You know, much later than, you know, well, last year we saw what 30 Days in Mariupol.
20 Days in Mariupol.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So that was a film that was very, you know, had journalists who were in areas that were constantly being attacked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very like an action film. And this was more like the character drama.
Oh,
because they're looking at the lives of people who are trying to live something remotely normal. You know, a life that, where they can do the things that they used to do before the war. But inevitably the war siren, or, you know, the bomb sirens, right, one of the main characters is actually part of a military force. So it's like, he's just a regular guy, but
yeah,
you know, need. So it's kind of the opposite side of that.
Yeah.
I just, that was compelling.
I'll watch for like it. It'll come out at some point on some service.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah. There was like a Saltburn-esque drama. I call it a drama. Veni Vidi Vici. Which, again, kind of fell apart at the end for me, sadly. Interesting characters, and it just, I don't know. I don't know what it was missing, but maybe I want to say I think it needed to be longer to finish. I don't often say movies need to be longer, but they do.
That happens in indie films sometimes because they don't quite have the financing.
Yeah.
To get it to where it needs to be. They don't get to go back and do reshoots. Right. They don't get to, you know. The one film that I thought might be good that wasn't at all, uh-oh, was the Sasquatch Sunrise.
I skipped it to see something else. So I'm glad I did.
It's, you know, I mean, it's people around Sasquatch in the forest and they do things.
So that was Eisenberg, right? Jesse, yeah. Eisenberg was in that. He was also in, ironically enough, a film called A Real Pain. That was at Sundance with Kieran Culkin. I'm just going to say that I think I'm just tired of Jesse Eisenberg at this point, because Kieran Culkin was great in that movie. And I'm tired of neurotic Jesse Eisenberg. That seems to be every character. I feel like I'm just watching Jesse Eisenberg. Uh-huh. So sadly, that kind of bummed me out. But like I said, overall, there were more movies I liked than I didn't. There were only a couple that completely fell apart. There were some that ended clunkily, but there were only a couple that I got to the end. I was just, yeah, no, you didn't even stick that. you didn't even get close to landing that. So, that was a pleasant surprise. I didn't hate any movie that I came out of, which is nice. Normally in past years, there's always been at least one where I'm just like, it was a terrible movie. The closest we got was the Steven Soderbergh film this time, Presence, which is it's a proof of concept movie, which means it's not really a movie. It's a proof of concept. So that's why that movie's not that great. So, but again, I can't say it's terrible because it proves the concept, but this particular implementation doesn't work. So sadly, I'm sure in another week they'll announce dates for 2025, at which time I'll start deciding if I want to try to go and cover that again. So we'll see that goes. I know there were a few of our fellow critics up there, but not a ton. I think I only saw like three or four.
No, they've, there's a couple of people who it's always been a priority, but there's a lot of people who it hasn't been.
Right.
It's hard to cover. And the problem is some of us, you know, part of our day job is maybe a little part of it is the movies and things, but we have the other part of our job that we have to do as well.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets in the way. And that, you know, that's my problem. I get pulled off and.
Oh, yeah. I had to take 4 days off my day job to cover that. So
yeah.
To get up there and see him. So yeah, it's, if it's not, yeah.
It's a weird thing with, like, you know, in my case where your outlet that you're doing things for is also the outlet that says they need you to do something else.
Right. It's strange.
Anyway,
weird priorities.
That's life.
So yeah,
it's life.
That
it's
is
so
life. That's Sundance 2024. Like I said, overall good. The weather cooperated, which was fantabulous.
Which would have been great if I had been going out.
I know, but you know, it was actually, I saw a little bit of snow. I did actually fall, completely slip on ice. I slipped, went horizontal, and almost ate the pavement had I not got my hands in the way. And my phone went about 8 feet in the air and just landed flat on its back and luckily didn't break anything. After that, I learned to walk slower around a certain corner. So, but other than that, no, wasn't rain. Wasn't a ton of rain. Wasn't, there was like some snow showers. It was a fairly pleasant weekend. It even almost got warm a couple days when we were walking around, which was kind of neat. It was pretty nice. So it was a pretty nice opening weekend. The rest of the festival did fairly well. I'll be interested to see how all these rumblings of Sundance moving in the future play out.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it can happen while Robert Redford's alive. Anything is possible in this world.
Well, they can do additional things as well. But
yeah,
anyway,
they could. So we'll see how that goes. That's it for Sundance 2024. A lot of movies haven't even touched on most of them. That either one of us has seen, but that's a smattering of what we saw and what we thought. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like us, follow us on social media. You know how all that works. Like us, share us with your friends, all that good crap. You know how it is. And until we talk again, I am Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan. And we will talk to you all later.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.